he looking for? Who did he want to ascend his throne?
His son.
His son. Jonathan. Now there was a close relationship between Jonathan and David. A very close. And we find that Saul, he wanted to kill David because he wanted the throne to go to Jonathan. Jonathan knew it was going to go to David. And Jonathan was going to be there with him. That's basically what they had indicated. All right? So be that as it may, we find that he kept Judah, Benjamin, he kept that area for David's sake. And here's what he told Jeroboam in verse 37. I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in mine eyes, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and will build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. That's a promise the Lord made to Jeroboam. And that meant, as he did with David, that David, the rest of Judah, that it would go from father to son, right on down. That would have happened with Jeroboam. That's what the Lord promised him. You'll be king over Israel. I'll give that to you. If you will do what I tell you to do and follow my will, I will do that. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam rose and fled to Egypt. Under Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon, and then he's going to return. And so we find that as a result of that, that Rehoboam lost the kingdom. And therefore we find that when the people had rebelled against him, that verse 25 of chapter 12, then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and built therein. And he went out from them and he built a newel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now will the kingdom return to the house of David. Why would they return to the house of David? What do they have responsibilities to do? Three times a year, the men 20 years of age and up were able to go to war. They had a responsibility to be in Jerusalem and worship on the Passover, the Pentecost, and the tabernacles in the fall. They had that responsibility. So here's the people that's up in the northern part of this area. And he's afraid that when they go down to Jerusalem, they're going to return to David. So he has to do something in order to keep that from happening. That's his thought, according to what the scriptures tell us. He said that they will go back, they will kill me, and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and he said unto them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Rehoboam had ties in Egypt. So this goes all the way back to when they were delivered out of Egypt. And he said, here's your gods. And he set one in Bethel and the other in Dan. One end in the south, one in the north, and he tells the people, you don't have to go all the way to Jerusalem. You go right here. Convenient. They wanted it. They liked it. And those that didn't, they migrated down to Judah because there were priests that were up there that left and went down to Jerusalem. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made houses in the high places and made priests from among all the people that were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that was in Judah. And he went up unto the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calf that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places that he had made. And he went up unto the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and went up under the altar to burn incense. All right, so that's what he did. That sets the stage for what's about to happen. We find in chapter 13 that there was a young man that came out of the city, out of Judah, by the word of Jehovah, unto Bethel. And Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar by the word of Jehovah and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Jehovah, behold, a son shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah, by name. And so we find that he's as a prophet, he's identifying what Josiah is going to do. Now, we've talked about Josiah, a young man that he cleansed. The Kidron Valley, he had a full sweep during the last 20 years of Jeremiah's work. Jeremiah came upon his work in the 13th year of his reign, of Josiah's reign, and was there until the 32nd when Josiah was killed. And so we find that Josiah, he names him. He said, upon thee shall be the sacrifice of the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall they burn upon thee. And he gave a sign, the sign of the same day, saying, this is the sign which Jehovah has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar of Bethel, that Jeroboam put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. So here's Jeroboam that's lashing out at this prophet. And his hand, which he had put forth against him, dried up so that he could not draw it back again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from before the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of Jehovah. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the favor of Jehovah thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God entreated Jehovah, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. Now here's the clincher. Jeroboam now says to the young man, the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. But what did the young man tell him? Remember? The young man said, if thou will give me half thy house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of Jehovah, saying, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water, neither return by the way that thou camest. You don't go back the same way you came. You don't eat, you don't drink, you go take care of your job and you go home. That's what he had identified as his responsibility. Doesn't matter if you give me half of your house. I can't do this. So did the young man know what Jehovah told him to do? Did he recall it? Of course he did. Right. So he went another way and returned not by the way that came to Bethel. Now there dwelt in an old prophet. That's why I call him a young prophet. There's the man of God. Young. There was an old prophet in Bethel. And one of his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them also they told unto their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? Now our sons had seen what way the man of God went that came from Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me a donkey. So he saddled him the donkey and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak, and he said unto them, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of Jehovah, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. You know, prophet says, I also am a prophet, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of Jehovah, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. I don't know what's going through the young. Of course, I guess he might be hungry and thirsty. I don't know when to go home. But here was this old prophet. There's something going on. Now, remember the prophecy that was given against Jeroboam and against the altar of what Josiah is going to do. And so he goes and he tells him that the angel appeared. We have anything like that? Did Paul deal with anything like that? You recall? Galatians letter, Galatians chapter 1. Even if an angel from heaven tells you anything different than what you receive, let him be accursed. And so we find that people, you know, they'll talk today, well, an angel spoke to you. You know, we have some of them that have done that, the leaders of them. But what they're doing is contrary to what's already been delivered within the Word of God. I don't know what appeared to Joseph Smith. I don't know what he saw. But whatever it was, we know what Paul would have said in reference to it. And there's been others that have done the same thing. That God spoke to me. God laid it on my heart. I was like that. Laid it on my heart. There was a gentleman that was talking about his wife passed. And he was by himself for quite a while. And then he met this woman. And he knew instantly. The Lord laid it on his heart that that's the woman for him. That took about 6 months. The problem is that the Lord didn't lay it on her heart, I guess, because she thought he had money, you know, and he didn't. But, you know, that's the deal. So we have to be careful about what folks say that God laid upon their heart. You know? And so we find that here's this old prophet that he tells this young man, the angel of the Lord said, I'm a prophet like you. I'm a prophet. And I'm an older prophet, see? So I'm a prophet, and the angel said for you to come back with me. You can eat, you can drink. Come to my house. But he lied to him. And we find that in reference to that it came to pass as they sat at the table, verse 20, chapter 13, that the word of Jehovah came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith Jehovah, forasmuch as thou hast been disobedient unto the mouth of Jehovah, and hast not kept the commandment which Jehovah thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which he said to thee, eat no bread, drink no water. Now the young man has stated himself that that's what the Lord told him to do. We noted yesterday that in reference to when the prophet went to Ahab about letting a charge that he had, letting go, you know, with Ben-Hadad, he let him go, and so the prophet setting forth that here we're out in the battle and a man comes in and needs a charge, and he says, you keep him. You keep charge of him, and if you lose him, you die. He said, so I did something, I came back and he was gone. Ahab said, he stated his own fate. And the prophet said, you're the guy. But you did that with Ben-Hadad. You let him go. God had given him and devoted him to destruction, and you let him go. And so now his fate is now yours. And then that's what Micaiah says. You're going to die. If you come back at all, the Lord hadn't spoken through me. Alright, so this young man, he says that you went back to eat, your body shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy father. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread, after he had drunk, that he saddled up his donkey for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his body was cast in the way, and as the donkey stood by it, the lion also stood by the body. And behold, men passed by, and they saw the body cast in the way, and the lion standing by the body, and they came and they told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the mouth of Jehovah. Therefore Jehovah hath delivered him unto the lion which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of Jehovah which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saddle the donkey, and they saddled it. And he went and he found the body cast in the way, and the donkey and the lion standing by the body, and the lion had not eaten the body, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the body of the man of God and laid it upon the donkey and brought it back, and he came to the city of the old prophet to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his body in his own grave. That's sweet, wasn't it? It's nice. We're going to put him in his own grave. And they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to the son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying, I know what he's doing, the saying which he cried by the word of Jehovah against the altar of the altar in Bethel and against the, all the house of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. So what was it that he said about that, of what was going to happen? You go back over to chapter 13. He said, I give you a sign. This is the sign which has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it's already talked about Josiah. And what Josiah is going to do, upon these shall he sacrifice the priest, is verse 2, sacrifice the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall they burn upon thee. The old prophet says, bury me with you. Does anybody know what happened? When Josiah went through the land and he destroyed those altars and he killed the priests upon their altars and he spread ashes upon those altars, he went to the sepulchers and he took the bones of the dead men and put them on the altar, defiled their altar, and he comes to this one sepulcher. And Josiah says, who's that sepulcher? He said, well, that's the man of God that came down and prophesied against Jeroboam. And he said, leave him alone. That old prophet knew that was what would happen. He wanted it. They wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the two men. In reference, they were just bones. And rather than defile the one, he left them both. And that old prophet knew that exactly. All of this was planned. It was planned by Jeroboam in order to do that. Ahab, what he did with Jehoshaphat, it was all planned. Right? He knew what he was doing with Jehoshaphat. And these men, these are evil men. Evil men do evil things. Jezebel, evil women do evil things. Right? And also the prophecy that went out against Jezebel of what would happen to her, she'd be eating the dog. My grandson's like to ask the question. My grandson says, what hit first? The paint on Jezebel's face or Jezebel's face on the pavement? Okay. The eunuchs that were carrying her, Jehu said, you're on the Lord's side, throw her out. They did. Out she went, out the window. And of course, they went inside and they did what they were going to do. They come back out, and there wasn't anything left, I think, but the hands and the skull. The dog had drug off the rest of them. The prophecy, these prophets, this is not just a fairy tale. This is not just a story to amuse us. This tells us the responsibilities of these prophets to do what the Lord instructed them to do. Don't add to it, Don't take away from it. We heard that before? Of course we have. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. But I think, and we see how far that goes. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And you take your lumps. You take whatever it is, what the Lord says. The Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So anytime that we decide to inject our own little thoughts or whatever they are to it, what does that tell us about our love for the Lord? We have our reasons. I know. But I think, or it seems to me, or it looks like, or I don't see anything wrong with it, or it's a good word. How do we know if it's a good word? Scripture tells us that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished. Thoroughly furnished unto every good work. If it's not in there, it's not a good work. Not a good work of God. The gentleman obeyed the gospel back in Reno, but he was a musician. Really liked his music. And he said, well, why can't I play my music? That's what I have to offer unto the Lord. Offer to him my music. I said, Lord, don't want your music. Okay? Doesn't want it. So getting about as quick as he was out of the water, he was off playing his music. Going to what made him happy. Okay? We have decisions to make in life, and they're serious decisions. And we need to think about these prophets. Within what they endured, what they encountered, and those that didn't do as they were instructed to do, of what they suffered. Remember the prophet that was, before he went to stand before Ahab, he told the guy to strike me. Strike me. The guy, nope, won't do it. Told that guy died. He was disobedient to the words of Jehovah. So the next guy said, okay. So he wounded him. Yeah, with what he did, so we do that. All right. Anyway, let's see what I had here. Jeroboam, already had that. Ahijah, that told him that he was going to receive the king.